It is good to see you this morning. Turn to the book of Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1 this morning. Okay? It is nice, may I say, to have a voice. Okay? This entire last week I spent the majority without one. Okay? I do thank you for your understanding on Wednesday evening. And I wanted to come to church, and I was told pretty much in so many no uncertain terms that, preacher, we love you, but we don't want you here. Whatever it is you have, we do not want. Yes, sir? Oh, okay. Yep, okay. I was banned on Wednesday evening from coming and being among you, but I feel much better. I started feeling better probably Friday-ish, and each day has progressively gotten better. Praise God, I have a voice, and it is nice to be able to speak. Some of you are probably saying, oh, okay. But anyway, it's good to be able to talk again. Amen. Exodus chapter 1, if you have it this morning, please stand with me for the reading of God's word. Amen. It is Mother's Day, and as I'm sure every pastor somewhat labors over what to say, goes to prayer with God, what do our people need? What would you have me say? Lord, what's the direction? And many times we are directed in a traditional way. This morning, through this week of petitioning God in what direction he would have me go for Mother's Day, in honor of our mothers, he kind of began to send me on a little bit of an untraditional pathway. I think you'll understand what I mean as we venture into this, but I think something that needs to be said more than it is said. It needs to be thought about probably more than it's thought. So, join me this morning, Exodus chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. Are you there with me this morning? Amen. All right, I picked up a few of you along the way. That's good. Let's see how much we can grow on that. Amen. Look at verse 16, Exodus chapter 1. Bible said, and he said, when ye do the office of the midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mightily. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Chapter 2. Verse 1, the Bible reads, and there went a man of the house of Levi, and took a wife of the daughter of Levi. And a woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. When she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with the slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. Pray with me this morning. Happy Mother's Day. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time that we have as always, Lord God, for the preaching of your word. And Lord God, again, not because of the individual delivering it, but Lord God, because hopefully the individual delivering it, Lord God, has walked with you, spent time with you. And Lord God Almighty prepared themselves so that, Lord God, the message that you would have and that you know your people need may be heard. Father, I just pray this morning, Lord God, as we do assemble this special day, that, Father, you have a special note of thought, Lord God, recognition. And yes, Lord God, even maybe challenge for each and every one of us. But Lord God, as we take that time to simply honor, show appreciation for our mothers and, Lord God, their tireless work. Lord, bless the preaching of your word, I plead. In Jesus' name, amen. One last time, probably won't be the last time, but publicly, to all of our mothers, happy Mother's Day. You know, an individual said to me this week, they said, it was a gentleman, and he said, why when mothers, and it's Mother's Day, do we praise and we honor and we talk about the wonderfulness of mothers and the tireless work of mothers, and then on Father's Day, we as fathers get all beat up? And I said, well, wait a minute, that's not necessarily, well, yeah, most times it is. Listen, I think just because of the tenderness of a mother and the part they play in a home, probably lends to the reasoning of that. It probably shouldn't be that way on a continual basis. But I believe that just the sincerity and the softness, the tenderness of a mother's love, I think brings forth that to fruition. And when we think of a mother, most times we think of a traditional mother. Most times we think of a mother depicted in Proverbs chapter 31, a godly mother according to the word of God. In verse 10 and following Proverbs 31, the Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. She that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like a merchant ship. She bringeth forth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night, just tirelessly working continually to care for the home, to care for the family. She layeth her hands to the spindle, her hands hold the staff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing. And she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. I mean, the traditional godly mother. We think of that initially. We think of that, if you will, many times predominantly. And when Mother's Day arises, most times, many times, we think of the traditional motherhood. The tirelessly working mother. The mother that cares for the children. The mother that cares for her husband. The mother that is the adhesiveness that holds that family together. Maybe our minds drift off to an image of a mama that rises early, gets lunches packed for the children as they rush off to school, tidies up the house before she departs for many errands she has to run, or even heads off to work for herself. Comes home from the errands or her work day, begins to prepare a meal for her family. Prepares for the children to arrive from school. And in the midst of all this, she has a load or two of laundry working. She's maybe preparing for a weekend event. Vacuums the house. Feeds the dog and finds time to help with some homework while dinner is cooking. The life, many times, of an everyday mother. Mamas are amazing, friend. I said, mamas are amazing. We set this day aside to honor them, show appreciation for the countless hours they put in. The organizing, the analyzing they do. and still have the heart to where that child, when it falls off the bike or trips running across the yard, can run to the confirming love and affection that will always make that child feel better. Their traditional mother. My mother kept a garden of the heart. She planted all the good things that gave my life its start. She turned me to the sunshine, encouraged me to dream, fostering and nurturing the seeds of self-esteem. And when the winds and rains came, she protected me enough, but not too much, because she knew I'd need to stand up strong and tough. Her constant good example always taught me right from wrong, markers for my pathway that will last a lifetime long. I am my mother's garden. I am her legacy, and I hope today she feels the love reflected back from me. A second grade teacher asked her math class this question while working on fractions one day. She said, suppose your mother baked a pie, and there were seven of you, your parents, and five children, yourself and four other siblings. Trying to teach the children fractions, she looked at the class and she said, so now what part of the pie would you get? Little boy perked up and he said, a sixth. The teacher looked at the little boy and said, this is the reason we must learn our fractions, Johnny. She said, remember there are seven of you. And with seven of you, what portion of the pie would you receive? The boy looked up at Mrs. Walton. He said, Mrs. Walton, I understand the question. He said, but you don't know my mother. He said, my mama would say that she didn't want any pie, and therefore I could get another piece. You see, most times when we think of mother's love, a mother's dedication, a mother's sacrifice, we most times think of the traditional mother. Rightfully so. May those mothers always be praised and honored. But there's another type of lady that maybe is a mother, but listen, might not fit quite in the traditional mold of a traditional mother. A mother that has made sacrifices out of love, has exercised unselfish actions to protect and secure, who has cried rivers of tears longing for something that she was not able to have and surrendered in love for the betterment of her child so that he or she could thrive or even survive. As I labored, as every pastor does, on how to honor mothers on such a special day, how to say something that would help encourage, uplift, honor, and recognize. Implore mothers, both young and old, to continue to do what they do for the love of God, family, and all benefactors. What do you say? Year after year, a pastor labors over how to present, how to articulate a message that is so predominantly already known, but yet needs to be reiterated time and time again. And my mind started drifting to that mother who has made some unspeakable sacrifices so their child may live or even have a better life. That maybe sits in the dead of the night as the tears flow down their cheeks, wondering how or where my precious child is this evening. We hear many of the heartbreaking stories of mothers who have been, if you will, enslaved within a communist regime and an opportunity for a child to escape that. And in their unsacrificial love and their giving, they surrender the child so that it may find a better way of life in a free land. We think of the mother who is on the sinking ship. And his room but one for a few. And rather than taking and securing her own life, reaches out and extends the child she holds in her arms. Knowing that with releasing that child, it would be but certain death for her and to never be seeing of her child ever again. What about that mother? What about the lady's heart that has walked through a sacrifice? That many times, watch this, and we'll speak of it in a moment, but that young mother who made some mistakes along the way and found themselves with child, realizing they cannot provide for that child, realizing that their life and the child's life specifically will be a detriment the remaining years of their life. Rather than abort the precious life, makes the decision to be willing to surrender that child upon birth so that it might have a better life. Friend, that young lady is a mother all the same. Carried that child in a womb for 9 months. There's a certain unity. There's an unexplainable that only a mother could possibly grasp. Affection and tie that binds. Unifying over that period of time. Only to walk through the jaws of death to give birth and have that child whisk away at the last moment to be taken to a family who can do it so much better. What about that mother? And she lays awake saying, is my child safe this evening? I understand what I had to do and why I had to do it. But it's still my child. Are they warm? Are they being cared for? Friend, mother's love comes and exists in a multitude of different facets. And I don't know if it's possible for anyone who has never been a mother to fully understand. I don't, as a male, even try to begin. It's a level, it's a measure of love and benevolence that I know I'll never fully understand. Sure, I love my children. But God has made men and women differently. I hope that's not a revelation for you. And I believe that God has made man different in a manner in which only a mother can understand what a mother's love is. The depth, the affection, the willingness and the sacrifice. I've asked you to pick up Exodus, the latter part of chapter 1 this morning, and beginning in verses chapter 2. Because within it we find a mother whom the Bible, listen to me, does not even name. But that when we think of a mother's love, in which only a mother could possibly improperly understand, we find what must seem to be quite an amazing woman, whom held some special traits of a mother's love, but was forced to express them in a very untraditional way. When I thought of how to articulate a mother's love today for you, I thought of maybe some untraditional ways that display a very universal love that I believe in my heart, again, only a mother could hold. So if you'd allow me, I'm going to do my best today to honor our mothers by bringing forth a message that displays a mother's love that I believe only a mother can comprehensively understand, shown in a very untraditional way. But that has an amazing way of never becoming lost in the circumstances of life. I would desire to do so in a message this morning I have titled Transcending Traits of a Traditional Tender-Hearted Mother. Transcending Traits of a Traditional Tender-Hearted Mother. If you understand your English vernacular this morning, The word transcending means to rise above. What are some of the traits that rise above the traditional tender-hearted mother that sometimes we don't necessarily think about, but are such a vivid display of a true mother's love? Look with me in Exodus chapter 1 and into chapter 2 while I try to share what God has laid upon my heart this week. We see the latter part of chapter 1 where God educates us on a time of great oppression during the origin times of Him creating a great nation of people to walk with Him, to illuminate Him, to fellowship with Him, to serve Him. An individual we all are very familiar with who played a tremendous, significant part in that coming to fruition, which is an obviousness, an understatement. We know him as the man Moses. We see near the end of chapter 1 as God begins to explain the circumstances at hand during such a time of oppression, as God begins to prepare a people of his choosing to form a nation to be his peculiar people. As and in that population became more plenteous, and yes, more powerful, Pharaoh becomes aware of the concern of the major population that is forming and tries to alter the sovereignty of God. Verse 15 and 16 in chapter 1 display it well. It says, "And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, which the name of one was Shepherah, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. If it be a daughter, then she shall live." See, if we stomp out the male population, it will obviously sustain the ever-growing population of the Hebrew children. Now, as we see in the following verses, these midwives feared God more than they did Pharaoh. So they defiled Pharaoh's orders and continued to allow the Egyptian males to live. So Pharaoh commands all the people that see an Egyptian male under the age of 2 to throw him in the river. Verse 22. And it is during this time in which a young Levite male child is born. A male child that would change the course of history for not just the Israelite people, but as you setting this morning in a grafted in lineage of Jesus Christ, changed your future as well. His mother, whom again is unnamed, nurses while she hides him 3 months. Until she's unable to hide him anymore and then devises a plan in which this child could escape death. But she certainly knows it will come at a price of separation of this child she has now recently given birth to. And as we think of the loving traditional traits of a godly mama, I wonder if we can take an untraditional situation in mama and find those very same traits, maybe even greater exercised in a greater degree. Traits like a mother's sacrificial heart. If we think of a traditional mother, one of the first things that comes to mind is a sacrificial heart. But friend, as I evaluated Moses' mama's life, Moses' mama's circumstance and situation that would bring her to a culmination of such a determination, I didn't find it real hard at all to also find her sacrificial heart. Few will ever understand the heart of a mother other than a mother, I realize that. A mother that's so willing to sacrifice her own feelings and happiness for the needs of her children. Look at Moses' mother and what she does. In verse 1 of chapter 2, you still with me? "And there went a man out of the house of Levi and took a wife of the daughter of Levi. A woman conceived and bare a son." The Bible doesn't even give her a name. When she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. When she could no longer hide him, she took for him the ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. She laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Now, no doubt Moses' mama was aware that Pharaoh's daughter regularly went down to the river to bathe. I'm certain she knew exactly the area in which she exercised this practice, as well as the times in which she did so. So she builds a basket that will float, places the child whom God does not even give us a name for which he has been given a name. So we have a mother that God does not give us the name thereof. And we have a child at this point in time that child more than likely would have been given a name on the eighth day, when he would have been circumcised if they were even able to continue carrying on the Hebrew traditions while they were enslaved. But God doesn't even give us the child's name, his Israelite or Hebrew name. But what that name was, we will never know. Maybe one day when we get to heaven, God will reveal it, but as for now, we do not know what Moses' Hebrew name was that he was given. Yet I would ask you, for the sake of Mother's Day, to think about the sacrificial love that this unnamed woman, this mother of Moses, is about to exercise here so that this child may live. She knows once she places that child in that basket, he is either going to be found by the maid servants of Pharaoh's daughter, or he will more than likely be killed by forced drowning in the river. Those are the options. Either means a lifetime of separation. Either means a sacrifice of giving away a child to whom I'm sure she loved dearly. Either way, she knows that by doing this, it will most definitely change her life forever in a sacrificial surrender of this child to be raised as her own, only to be raised by another. Why? So the child might live. I mean, can you think of a more agonizing action for a mother? To be forced to give up a child to be raised by her as her own, so that it may live and have a chance at a life in which was not possible with her, within her care. I don't imagine from a mother's heart there can be more of a sacrificial surrender. Friend, I think of the agonizing action again of a very young mother that willing to walk through childbirth rather than aborting the child, all while knowing the moment she delivers the child, she is held in her womb for 9 months, is going to be whisked away and adopted by a loving couple in waiting. Friend, that must be a very agonizing pain to bear, but one that only a mother's love is able to withstand, so that child may live and have a better opportunity of life in which she is unable to give, all for the welfare of the child. Friend, I am absolutely 100% in every ounce of my being against abortion. Amen. I make no excuses for it. I don't hide it. But friend, the circumstances and situations in our modern day, we find many young ladies who make some poor choices. Peer pressure gets the best of them, and they find themselves in a motherly way, all while realizing that that child, once arrived, is going to alter, and let's be honest, more than likely, in a detrimental way, change two lives. I admire a young lady who is willing to say, I cannot provide for this child. I cannot provide a life for this child that the child is worthy of. I know there are many loving parents in waiting. And I am willing to, out of a mother's surrendered heart, surrender my child so that that child may have a betterment of life in which I cannot provide. Agonizing, yes. But beneficial? Certainly. Yes, for the mother. But more importantly, friend, for the child. And I believe that that is the driving force behind young mothers who are willing to make a decision like that. May I say this publicly this morning? That is always better than killing the child. Amen. But what a display of a sacrificial love. It's hard to, if you've never been a mother, to even comprehend such a hardship. Church, when it comes to traditional traits of a mother shown forth in an untraditional way, I don't want you to think of young ladies in a circumstance as such. I think of Moses' mother and her sacrificial heart. And said, my two choices are, if I try to keep this child whom I can hide no longer, it will mean certain death. Or I can sacrifice him to be raised by another so that he might have life. I can't think of a more unmeasurable trait of a loving mother. But secondly, think about a mother's unselfish heroism. I said a mother's unselfish heroism. Look at verses 3 through 8. When she could no longer hide him, she took for him of the ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime, with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to what would be done to him. And daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the river's bank. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. When she opened it, she saw the child. Behold, the babe wept. She had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister unto Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. May went and called the child's mother. Did you get that? The sister is positioned to stand by to see what will happen to the baby. When Pharaoh's daughter finds the baby, his sister, very strategically placed, runs up and says, hey, I know how to make that baby stop crying. He's probably hungry. I can go get one of the Hebrew women that are nursing and bring her to you so she can feed him. I mean, neighbor, listen. She's found by Pharaoh's daughter, and Pharaoh's daughter realizes that the child is going to be needing to be nursed. I mean, it's not like she could run down to Walmart and buy some Similac. So I'm going to make an assumption here. Please don't flame me. But I'm assuming Moses' mother has a major part in strategically placing Moses' sister in such a place to see what becomes of him. Would you think? I'm not convinced that the sister is just taking it upon her own to hide herself in the bulrushes in the weeds to see what happens to the child. I'm going to make a leap of faith here and assume Mama has had somewhat of an input in this. Now watch this. The child's found. Pharaoh's daughter knows that he's going to need to be nursed. So the sister runs up and says, hey, you know, can I get one of the nursing Hebrew women to come and feed the child for you that you found? Now, friend, for the sake of time, I'm just asking you to take a moment and think about what it would have been like to nurse her very own child while she hands it off to the personification of the very people who have enslaved her and caused this to all come about in the first place. Can you imagine what that would have been like? Can you imagine what it would have been like for Moses' mother to nurse that child, realizing that she is going to have to hand it off to, again, the personification, Pharaoh's daughter? All this is happening. She's had to surrender this child because of Pharaoh's laws. Is that correct? Pharaoh has instituted these laws because they are an enslaved people. Is that right? So all this has come about because of this King Pharaoh. And now his daughter is going to be the one in which the mother not only has to surrender the child to, but has to nurture and nurse it while she does so. Now, I would ask you before we move on to think about the heroism that's involved in what this loving Hebrew mother has accomplished for the nation of Israel and, once again, all of mankind in a whole. Friend, without this mother's heroism, there is possibly no exodus out of Egypt. Yes? Might I remind you, Moses is the one who led that. If there's no exodus out of Egypt, there's no need for the blood upon the doorpost as death passes by. Lest we forget. If there's no blood upon the doorpost and no 10 plagues, then there's now manifestation of miracles that has not existed. No leadership in the wilderness and no nation of people, no lineage of Jesus Christ. And listen, I could go on and on and on. Without this mother's heroism, none of this, the manner in which it unfolded, in which brings us to where we sit today, here, could have happened. Is that right? Without a Moses, there's no law. Without a law, there's no disobedient Israelites. Without disobedient Israelites, there's no turning to a Gentile people. Last I checked, that's us. Are you getting the idea? Friend, I don't know what a hero looks like to you. I said, I don't know what a hero looks like to you. Maybe it's some tall fellow on a basketball court who can dunk a basketball. Maybe it's some fellow who can leap, you know, tall buildings and catch footballs. I don't know what a hero looks like to you. But friend, I know what a hero looks like to me. Looks like a woman with a sacrificial heart who was willing to surrender a child so that he might live. And might I remind you what he went on as God used him to do. I don't know what greater personification of a hero you can think of. Amen. All from the heart of a loving mother, willing to do that which many would feel is unspeakable. Amen. Now please understand that I understand God's sovereignty. And yes, he could have and would have made it happen any way he needed to. I get that. I understand sovereignty. I understand God's power. But friend, listen to me. This is the way he chose. And he used this woman's love, motherly heart, and heroism to accomplish it. And I wonder how many times we just read over it like words on paper. And it was through the actions of this mother's sacrificial heart and unselfish heroism that brought it all to fruition, Brother Ian. And by chain of events, we're here because of it. I'm going to heaven because of it. And I would hope so are you. Now let me bring it down to a personalism. How many unselfish heroisms of mothers go unnoticed, but play a necessary part in the lives of movers and shakers in this world? Friend, Elon Musk has a mama, or had one. Amen? Robert E. Lee had a mama. Ulysses S. Grant had a mama. Mr. MacArthur had a mama. President Lincoln had a mama. Mr. Washington had a mama. The people who have moved this world had a mother. Now, I don't know what each and every one of those mothers were like, but I can promise you this. It was mothers and their uncanny and many times unmistakable and, listen to me, even for men like you and me, ununderstandable measure of love that provided them pathways to move and shake the world we live in. Amen. You think what you do isn't important, Mom? You think what you do isn't important? You think it don't make a difference? One of our sons is a U.S. Marshal. There are people that live today because of his actions and his service. There is a sacrificial love that went into his upbringing. And I by no means can take the greater credit for it. He has a mama. Amen. And people are alive today because of her sacrificial love. You think what you do doesn't make a difference? Listen, for the sake of argument, without this precious unnamed mother, none of this happens, friend. I said, none of this happens. And you know as well as I do, that which a mother does is immeasurable. Allow me to wind this down this morning. We still all right? I mean, there's so much I can say, and hopefully you're getting the gist of my, I would prefer God's heart this morning. Well, we've talked about a mother's sacrificial heart. We've talked about a mother's unselfish heroism. Allow me to finish with a mother's secret harboring. I said a mother's secret harboring. One last time in our text passage this morning, will you? Look at verses 9 and 10 in chapter 2. Bible says, and Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "This is, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She called his name Moses. She said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Please take notice. Who is it that names the child? Pharaoh's daughter. Bible never even tells us what his Hebrew name was. This would have been after the time in which Moses now has grown to the age beyond nursing. Some estimate that a Hebrew child would have nursed as many as 4 to 8 years. So Moses is not an infant when he's brought to Pharaoh's daughter permanently. Church, we've talked about the heartache this must have entailed to endure this for a mother. But I would just ask you to notice in the midst of all this, the nursing, the comforting when the child would have been hungry, the motherly love that she, and I'm certain, joyed in giving, but did so knowing the day would come. My daughter and son-in-law have just taken on what do you call that? What is it? Yeah, but I mean, you're doing what? You're fostering. Yeah, fostering a pup. My granddaughter was telling me last week, Poppy, we're getting a puppy. I said, you are? I said, yeah, we're going to foster a puppy. I said, what does that mean? She said, well, we're going to take care of the puppy until you know, it grows to a certain point, and then a family's going to take it. It's going to go to a good home. I immediately looked at Lily and I said, oh boy, that's a bad idea. You say, well, what do you mean? I mean, isn't that a wonderful outpouring of love? I'm thinking, yeah, you have three children who are going to become attached to a puppy, and you're one day now going to say, okay, it's time for it to go to a home. Then they'll send the children to Grandma and Pap's place, okay, to deal with the heartbreak of it all, right? Because I can tell you there's going to be broken hearts along the way. But, hey, you do as you choose, amen? Zach's over there like, hey, I'm convinced already. Take it away. Amen. It's an analogy. Friend, that's what this mother does. Are you listening? It's not a puppy. It's a baby. Her baby. It's not an animal. It's a man who will rock the world for every generation to follow. Are you listening? She nurses it, comforts it, cares for it, fosters it, all knowing the day will come when she has to give it to the enemy, so that it might live. Now I don't know what your idea of an immeasurable heart of a mother looks like. But friend, that's one of the first things that come to my mind. Traditional mothers are so appreciated. And listen, I you know me. I build you up every opportunity I have. But friend, I can't imagine this. I'm a man, and it's hard for me to even wrap my head around this. You want to talk about a loving heart of a mother. You want to talk about transcending traits of a traditional mother. Buddy, what more example could you find? But here's my last point that I want you to think about. She's harboring this. Now watch this. Okay? Could you imagine what this mother had to harbor all these years? Because, friend, we sometimes miss the reality. But Moses is a grown man, having been raised in Pharaoh's daughter's home all his life by the time that we see him kill an Egyptian soldier and flee to Midian in the backside of the desert. Amen! He's a grown man. He's now been raised in Pharaoh's daughter's home all the years that Mama has held in her heart and harbored in her heart the heartbreak of watching this boy be raised in an enemy's home so that he might live. Secretly, never saying a word. Secretly, never revealing. Can you imagine what she goes through when she's walking down through the Egyptian village and she sees him walking on the side of the street? and she can't run to him. She can't talk to him. She can't hug him. She can't even ask him if he's warm at night. She just has to harbor all that and hold all that. And possibly every day, or at least very, very regularly, see that. You ask, what makes a mother's love tick? I don't know. I just know it does. I see something like that and I think to myself, I don't know how. How do you hold on to that? Listen, we got somebody who runs us off the side of the road, you know, and we get a case of road rage and we're looking for the car for the next 3 weeks because we just can't let it go. And you got a mother for years who's harbored all of this secretly and never said a word. Friend, lest we forget, a true mama, his true mama, his real mama, secretly harbored that heartache all those years without saying a word, all so that the child could grow and live. Now you tell me, other than God's love for us, what can even measure up to something like that? Mother's Day. What is it we honor? We honor the traits of a mother. I found this little story written by a young mother, and I felt it would sum up the totality of what I'm trying to say this morning. The transcending traits of a traditional tender-hearted mother. She writes, I've been a mom for a few short days. The first time it hit me. Sore and sleep-deprived, recovering from a long labor and emergency C-section that had the hospital suggesting that I get a blood transfusion. I rode a wheelchair down to the parking garage, watched my husband Tim snap our barely 6-pound newborn's car seat into the back seat, and then moving slower than I'd ever moved before to get into my own seat, braced myself for the drive home. That was when I started to see what I continue to see now. Months later, with an active baby bouncing in the living room, becoming a parent is bewildering, sweet, and undeservingly good. But as every new parent would attest to, becoming a parent is also hard. In those first few weeks, tucked in at home, family members making our meals, days turning into nights as we planted ourselves on a sofa caring for our beautiful boy, it took all my effort to move from the living room to the bathroom, from the bathroom to my own bed. Tim had to pick up Rocco and bring him to me every few hours during the night. I couldn't even get up on my own to feed him. Tim had to change diapers for me. I couldn't even bend over. Without other people nearby to see what we were facing in the especially hard work of those early weeks, how much effort it took for us to get from one day to the next. That was when I first heard the temptation in the back of my head. If you're sacrificing and serving and no one notices, what you're doing must not have much of a matter at all. Jesus said to his disciples, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Matthew chapter 6. Parenting has long been a practice that demanded unseen sacrifice. Who remembers all the times their parents changed their diapers, got up with them in the middle of the night, comforted hearts, cared for injuries. How many meals does a mother cook for her family throughout their lives? How many of the kind words and thoughtful conversations given from loving parents got logged permanently in a child's memory bank? But today, thanks to the world of social media, practicing the daily sacrifices of mothering doesn't have to be hidden. It's easier than ever to share. And in the monetary of cleaning spit up and cooking another meal, responding to another tantrum, we can unknowingly begin to resist entrusting our unseen services to one who knows all things. We seek affirmation from one another instead of from God. Right at our fingertips is a way to post the status and picture and right at the moment feel the satisfaction of reassuring likes. The allure of immediate validation is obvious, especially to somebody who's facing new challenges at home. Motherhood can feel isolating and lonely, and with its constant demands, discouraging in ways a woman has never before experienced. In my short stint as a mom, I've already wondered more times than I like to even admit, am I even doing this right? But looking to the rewards of others, approval on social media is not the answer to my heart's question. When I find myself wondering if my days have value, how to have joy, there's only one source in which I can trust. Because I was made to delight in Jesus, the one who demonstrated perfectly what it means to give up life for another. I don't have to trade the temporal satisfaction of being noticed for an eternal glory that is to come. Instead of looking to hearts on Instagram to fill up my quiet moments while the baby sleeps, I can look to the one who sees every momentary little sacrifice and uses it for good. I can fight for faith that the hidden work of a motherhood matters. Because nothing we do or think is hidden to him. Nobody else has to see this moment. He already does. So as mothers, when we're wiping another mess, making another meal, losing sleep or wondering if this quiet work even matters at all, we can take hold of delight. Not just in the affection we feel for our precious children, but also in the truth that serving them matters to our God. This is why our humdrum, ordinary, simple days are important, because we believe they are important to Him. In every moment, He is with us. He is in us. He hears us. He sees us. He is, in our days, at home and anywhere else with us. And working out His purpose in a thousand ways we cannot see and like and comment on in this life. The transcending traits of a traditional tender-hearted mother. Stand with me this morning. Happy Mother's Day. We spoke of a mother's sacrificial heart. We spoke of a mother's unselfish heroism. We spoke of a mother's secret harboring. As we stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed on this Mother's Day morning, you say, what am I to do, preacher? May you do what God tells you to do. Our altar is open if you'd like to bend a knee. When's the last time you just took a moment to thank God for your mama? You say, preacher, my mama's not even here anymore. Either is mine. But I sure thank God for the time that I had. I sure thank God for the tireless hours of work. I sure thank God for the maybe not perfect, but the wonderful ways of care. and completion. And hey, I would like to think, because of some of the things that Mama did in investing in me, God's given me the opportunity to have some influence in other lives that might never have happened had I not had a loving Mama who cared. But sometimes when we think of Mamas, we think of that traditional mother, that godly mother, and praise God for them. But this morning, what God has laid upon my heart is to just take a quick moment and think about maybe the untraditional mother, but a mother all the same. A mother that still has the sacrificial heart and many times has expressed that sacrificial heart in action beyond things we can't even comprehend. The unselfish heroism of the things in which they're willing to allow themselves to walk through and to feel and to deal with. Why? For the child's benefit. And all while they secretly harbor that, is telling themselves, only God is the one who needs to notice. Sometimes the child doesn't even know. But we know our Lord in heaven does. Friend, this morning, we have a loving Savior. He's not a mother. But He sent His only begotten Son. Why? So that we might live. Where do you think a mother's love gathered that benevolence? And I ask you this morning, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, are you headed to see Him one day? I mean, do you know that you know? Not because you hope so and you wish so. Do you know? And when you draw your last breath, you will step foot in the presence of Jesus Christ. Because you have allowed Him to pay a death penalty that you deserved and that He endured so that you would not have to. We use the terminology or the vernacular saved. Are you saved? Saved from what? Damnation of hell. Because hell is the place of separation where God is not. And my sin can't be where God is. And if my sin is not paid for, if my sin is not covered, then I must pay the penalty of that sin, which is a separation from the presence of God. I don't want to see anybody die and go to hell. And we go to hell because of our sin, but friend, listen, that doesn't make you something different, because we're all sinners. The only difference between a sinner that goes to heaven and a sinner that goes to hell is whether or not I allowed Jesus' blood to cover it. Can you take me to the place where you gave your heart to Jesus Christ and ask Him to save your soul for all of eternity? Because you can't save yourself. I ain't asking if you're a good church. I ain't asking if you're a good person. I ain't asking if you've been baptized. I ain't asking if you ever robbed a bank. I ask you if you've ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because those are the only people that go. And the only people that don't are those who have not. It can't be any simpler. Are you saved this morning? You're here this morning, and what I'm speaking of makes you a little nervous, brings a little doubt. I'd love to pray for you. Even beyond praying for you, I'd love to take the Word of God and share with you how you can know. How is it these people walk around and say, I'm going to heaven one day, and I'm going there for a Bible reason? Is there one in the room this morning who would say, preacher, I'd like to talk. have some doubts. Is there one? And on this Mother's Day, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we've had this morning. We ask for your blessing, Lord God, as we take time throughout the day to display honor to our loving mothers, as well as glorifying you. In Jesus' name, amen.